late May or early June when I was flying for Lakeland Airways in North Bay, Ontario, that the Star in Toronto newspaper called me up and asked me if I would put out there for camping. We had a cottage about 6 miles down the lake from our base, and I went down to Mattawa to take photographs of a plane smash that had occurred there around 4 o'clock that morning. It was a Sunday morning, and it was all misty too at the time. I doubled the other pen out and I taxied down the lake in the dark, practically. I went and knocked this fellow up. His name was Kevin Moore. He was a professional geographer in North Bay who did his odd job for the Star on call. I led him into the aeroplane and we took off against roughly a 20-mile-an-hour wind by that time. The wind had got up a little bit. We flew down to Mattawa, which was some 40 miles to the east of us. Now, to go to Mattawa, you can either follow a river out down, or you can follow the road, or you can follow a railway. They all run parallel. And when we'd gone about 15 miles down the road, Kevin Moore actually drew our attention to the fact that ahead of us, there was some object in the sky which was bronze-coloured, and I thought at the time, rather associated with clear. And he said, that is obviously the helicopter belonging to the Telegram. They had one in the area somewhere. So I thought it was, too. And the other thing I worried about then was that when we got round to Mattawa, I had to be very careful not to hit a stationary object in the air. And while I was thinking that, we came to a point halfway to Mattawa where the road and the railway, the road and the river go straight down. But the railway diverges down to a small town, I forgot this name after all this length of time, about 4 miles down and 4 miles back in a big loop. And this object in front of me then left the direct route to Mattawa and followed the railway line down. So I said, well, when it comes back, I'm going to be pretty close to it. And by that time, he had a side effect of 10 miles or so. And consequently, when he did come back and catch up the line again parallel with the road net, we were very, very close to it. And then I saw at once that it wasn't a helicopter. It was just a big, bronze, ball-shaped object which was flying at our speed against it, our speed being about 70, 75 in that category again, flying against the wind, which is against all common sense. It couldn't have been a balloon or anything like that because it was going the wrong way for the wind. So I said it's UFO and Moore agreed, and we decided to get a photograph quickly. So we undid the top window of the cab, which latches on the top wing, and undid the bottom window, which just hangs down, and he's got all those pictures shot. In the meantime, I climbed above it, and in climbing above it, we were able to see that it was solid, and it did block the cleaver as it passed. And it wasn't very, very big. I don't think it was very, very huge from the distance we were away. I would say it wasn't any more than 15, 20 feet round, but it's hard to be sure. When Moore was ready, I started to come down in a bit of a turning dive on it. And in the very second we started with a turning dive on it, it just contacted a silver pinpoint of light and was gone. Very brilliant little silver pinpoint. It remained for maybe 2 seconds. That was it. There's nothing else there. The other one was 3 years later, so, I think it was more than that. I got interested in prospecting and I was operating on my own at that time with a little cut aircraft. And I heard of a copper strike at Loch Elsh, sitting in North Bay still. So I flew up to Loch Elsh, which is about 400 miles northwest of North Bay on the Sierra, I think it was, line, near Shapley. And I picked up a man in the village of Loch Elsh to help me as a guide, and then we flew into a little lake about 6 miles behind Loch Elsh, where we spent the day sleeping. And that night, it was a very, very nice summer's night, around about July, early July, and the sun up there never seems to go completely down. There's always a glow in the high sky there. We were sitting around the campfire just before turning around midnight, and I happened to notice to my right, that would be to the south, a red light just above the trees, and I said to him, what is that warning light? I thought it was a radio tower or something, and he said, no, there's no light there. it couldn't be there. And then it started to move. I saw it was facing us, but it could be a distance away. It started to move towards us, and it came very, very fast towards us, not much over the trees, apparently. When it got dead out of us, it stopped, absolutely dead. So from then, it was still this glowing red light. And then you could see in the light, there was sufficient light to see, a wrestling shaped body, and there were four or five flashing portals or something like that, which were flashing a very brilliant, I would say cold, white light out of it. And the other end of it was probably, if it was half a mile away as I thought, it would be about 100 feet long, or maybe a bit more. The other end of it was all the colours of the rainbow pulsating out of it, like heat. There was green and orange and yellow and red, and it was really quite extraordinary. Well, as you sit and watch it, I yelled UFO to them, and UFO agreed with me. And as we sort of watched, it kind of reared up slightly on one angle, and it went away at an angle of about 45 degrees upwards in a northeasterly direction. It had been traveling south-north, and it moved and went off northeasterly climbing, and it went off, it started fairly slowly for the first second, then it went terribly fast, and 2 seconds later it had gone completely. So when we got back after we finished our station the day after, Lock House, we talked to people down in Lock House, and quite a few of them had seen the same thing, and there's quite a lot of talk about it. So, when I got back to Northgate a couple of days later, I reported to the RCAF as a very good sighting with lots of witnesses. They had given the names of some of them. And then, that was the end of it as far as I was concerned, except that that weekend my boy came home, he'd just joined the Air Force, and he'd been from Camp Borden to Barrow to a show. And after the show at 11 o'clock, they got the bus back to Camp Borden, and they were walking around Camp Borden to the barracks around midnight. I think he had five companions, if I remember now, and they saw exactly the same phenomenon as I had seen up at Lock Elf, which is, I would say, between the two places, which is 500 to 700 miles apart. And he reported it right away the next morning to the RCAF at Barry, so there were two different reports on the thing, and neither place knew the other reported it, and we never heard another word about it, but we came to the conclusion between ourselves that it must have been a tremendous long way out in space. And of course it could have just moved very fast and appeared again, but I think it's unlikely that two members of the same family would see the same thing like that, unless it was way out in space. It was a real mystery, because it couldn't have been a meteor, because it went upwards, and the meteor in the atmosphere cannot go upwards again. And that's what it did do. When it came to us, the speed it appeared to be coming at over the trees was what I was expecting. It went a CF 100 even traveling at, because I was used to seeing a CF 100 all day long. It appeared to be that speed, but if it was way out in space, I had no idea. But when it went away, its speed was fantastic as it went away. And it stopped suddenly, and it went away at a fantastic speed from a, you know, from a standing start. First second wasn't all that fast, but it was pretty fast. The next 2 or 3 seconds, just out of this world, there's nothing to go as fast except a rocket.